James 1, verse 12, perhaps a key verse for this book of the Bible. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Pray with me. Lord, as we hear your word tonight about blessing and endurance, we ask that you would give us a treasure that we might keep with us. Lord, that we can carry through life's struggles and triumphs to know that you are a God who uplifts us and preserves us in your care. We ask, Lord, that this would not be a word that we just hear and let it pass, but that it would be a word that we would indeed take with us and put into practice in our lives as we go day by day through this world. We ask that you would care for us in Christ's name. Amen. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, tonight I want to talk to you on the subject of blessed endurance. Blessed endurance. And I realize that two concerns might arise when someone like me comes to someone like you to talk about blessing that comes from endurance. The first might be, Brian, you're young. You haven't seen much of life. Who are you to talk to me about endurance through life's trials? And I understand that as a legitimate concern. I pray that we might be able to look past that and indeed look not to a man, but instead to a word of God that comes to us, indeed promising blessedness, happiness for endurance. Someone else might say, well, I have endured. I've endured a lot. Trials and tribulations have come to me left and right. This world has been a storm. It's been hard. I don't think I have any more fight left in me, let alone blessedness or a feeling of happiness. And I pray tonight then that this word would meet you, that indeed through this passage there would come a renewed sense of happiness, something that would shelter you from the world's concerns and hardships, and that indeed you would find a God who cares for you richly and deeply, and who longs to have you with him in eternity. We're on the subject of blessed endurance, and so often when we come to the Bible, we ask ourselves, what does the Bible want me to do? And James, of course, has something for us in that way when he says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, who endures under trial. We might think of this person who faces any number of challenges or trials, and they do not give up, they do not throw in the towel, but they press on, they endure, they persevere. Indeed, this is a theme that James has in his epistle that he writes. The Christians whom he writes to are persecuted Christians, Christians who are facing threats of death, of persecution, of harassment for their faith. And the last thing that he wants is someone who does not endure, who faced with trials, would throw aside the towel, would throw aside their faith, and go back to another way of life. If you move your eyes up just a few verses in chapter 1 to verse 8, we find one who's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. The opposite of the way of blessing. The one who's double-minded is wishy-washy, cannot be counted on. The one who's double-minded is like a wave of the sea, and we know that that wave does not stand firm in a way of endurance, but it moves, it shifts, it leaves. But James points us to steadfastness. And he says that this person who is steadfast, who perseveres, will be blessed or happy. Friends, so often in life we can face struggles and we don't know which way to go. We think that it would be best if we did call it quits and go another way that seems to better suit us. But if we think of this audience to whom James is writing, if we would not endure now by way of our faith, what are we giving up? What are we losing? Except blessedness, happiness that comes to us from our Lord. We ask, well, why should I remain steadfast? Why this holding on to my faith? Why should the words of the Apostles' Creed still ring true in my heart, even if the world gives me a barrage? Why this steadfastness? James continues this. Blessed is the man, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. These words to James's audience would have rung clearly with them. They would have known what James was talking about. When he uses this language here, he uses the language of a contest, of an athletic challenge. These readers would have known the Greek Olympic Games that happened. And it was the one who endured to the end, the wrestler who overcame his opponent no matter how long the match would go, or the runner who would keep his eyes on the finish line, no matter the tiredness or the exhaustion or the pitfalls that might meet him along the way. Why do you endure? There's a contest before you. And meeting you at the end is a crown of life. Now, of course, when we think of the Olympic Games, a crown is very much there. The world seeks a crown just as they seek someone who is stable, who is steady, who continues on. They seek a crown, but not of life. They seek a crown of gold, of silver, of fame, of notoriety, of being in the history books, of being well remembered. But friends, the problem with those crowns is that if you endure, those crowns of fame and fortune do not endure alongside with you. They tarnish, they fade, they only last as long as those who know you last. And then they come and they go. Imagine a lifetime of trials and travails, of coming to the end and finding that your crown will diminish just as you do. But James doesn't point us toward that crown. If you want blessedness, if you want happiness, don't look to the crowns that this world will offer you, but look to the crown of life. A crown that this world cannot take away from you. Indeed, a crown that you have already, but which will remain because it is not caught up in the course of this world. If you're going to endure and be steadfast, then find a crown and a reward that will follow you into all eternity. Some might say, that's good for you, Pastor. That's a high and lofty prize. Everyone wants that elixir of life, that eternal fountain of youth. But how do you know that I'll endure all these trials and still meet this reward? And I say, because there's one who has gone before us, who has endured far worse than any of us have ever endured. One who was brought very low, who identified with us in flesh, becoming like us in every way. And this Christ was tempted in every way just as we are. And yet, he did not meet these challenges as we do. He did not sin. And so therefore the crown of life was unto him. He went to the cross, this Christ. He endured its shame. And yet the Lord was faithful then to raise him up, to give him a crown that would never diminish, and that we would lay all our crowns before. You ask me, how do I know that this crown will come to the one who endures? And I say, because Christ has already earned it. And has earned it so much so that we are identified also in his reward, which would also be given to us. You know, it's one thing to go through the trials of finding a new calling in life, the cares of wondering where income will come to support a wife and family. And someone might say, well, blessed are you for remaining steadfast in that. And I pray indeed that there would be blessing from it. But may I keep my faith and perseverance in God all the while. When things feel far away, when courses seem dark and unknown, may there still be that blessedness of knowing a God who is near, who cares for his own, and who preserves them for the sake of Christ. We're given what we must do. We're given the reason why. And we find that this promise of blessedness is unmistakable because it cannot be taken away. This crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. People may wonder, Pastor Brian, am I enduring enough? Is that crown of life really there for me? Has Christ secured it for me on my behalf? And I would answer to you with the word of God tonight. If you can say through all that you know, I love God. I love him. Then this promise tonight is for you. People come on their deathbeds, even certain Reformed denominations, not knowing whether the promises of Christ are for them. And here is a great pastoral reminder for each of us. If we can say, I love Christ. He is my all in all, the one who has won the crown, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one above everything, the one who secures all blessedness. Friends, we're in a good position then. And we can know for sure that blessing and happiness will come to us. Christ, of course, loved his Father beyond any love that we could have. And he did endure the shame of the cross. But he did it with great joy, Hebrews says. The joy that was set before him. And now, friends, a world of trials is also given unto us, that with Christ in mind, we would endure these and remain steadfast with our Savior in our hearts, and our love and our loyalty directed to him. But it requires steadfastness, enduring the trials. And when we come out on the other side, to be greeted by our God with great words that his promises are sure and that they are ours. Blessed endurance brings blessed assurance, because it's caught up not simply in us loving our God, but because it's promised to those who love him. So friends, where do you look for your crown tonight? Is it fading? Is it fleeting? Or indeed, do you possess, no longer searching for your crown, holding a crown of life that no one can take away? I pray that is for each of you. I'm glad it is for this church. And we pray for continued blessedness and happiness and joy as you consider the promises of our God, as he carries you and secures you in himself. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, though the grass withers and the flower fades, we give you thanks that your word tonight endures forever. Lord, we give you thanks that we follow your word, that by your grace you have given us the strength to endure this world and to come out on the other side, to still say, I know my Savior, and I hold him dear. Lord, we ask that you would continue each of us in your care, and that you would deliver us into your great hands of compassion and of mercy. And Lord, as we consider the groanings of your creation, the veil of tears that many of us endure, we cry out with all of our hearts, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Take us to be with you in your very presence from now and into forever. Lord, we look to you tonight. We see the path of the cross. And we give you thanks for its accomplishment, its security on our behalf. And so we pray that you would leave this knowledge of the cross in our hearts as great and lasting assurance. Lord, we lift up our prayers to you in the name of our only Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing. And we stand to sing number 345, Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine, oh what a foretaste of glory divine. We'll stand to sing all three stanzas of number 345.
is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior, and happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
You may be seated. Once again, we have the opportunity tonight to give of our gifts and our offerings for the causes of this church, here and wherever else that it ministers. So we'll pray for that offering, and then it will be received. Following that is the doxology number 625. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would bless the giver and these gifts that are received for your church here at Trinity. We ask that they would be used wisely for the concerns and the works of this place, and that you might find here cheerful givers giving out of a heart of love for you in service to your kingdom. We ask this in Christ's name alone. Amen. Blessings and keepings upon each and every one of you. Now receive his blessing tonight from the book of 1 Thessalonians. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Amen.